So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Jamie Edwards from Kayako. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Hey, Adrian. I'm very good, thanks.
So, Jamie, for the benefit of our listeners and readers, and also my own benefit, can you tell us, give us a thumbnail sketch on you, Jamie, Kayako, what do you do, and what makes you special?
Okay. Well, I'll try to keep this short. So I'm a co-founder of Kayako, and Kayako is an omni-channel customer service platform. And our customers use Kayako to communicate with and support and acquire and grow better relationships with their customers over all kinds of channels, such as email, live chat, real-time messaging, and so on. And I've been working on Kayako for a little over a decade. Right. And being a co-founder, I've worn all kinds of hats over that time. So I've been working on product, operations, customer support, and marketing. Before Kayako, I'd been a technical support engineer, a freelance web and user experience engineer. So you could say I'm 100 feet wide and about an inch deep.
Right.
But that breadth has been interesting for me because it's given me the benefit of a really meta view over the customer experience, and especially as it's sort of turned and transformed over the years, and so much of it has gone online. And especially at Kayako, where we're in the business of great customer experiences fundamentally, and on both sides of the table, firstly in serving our own customers, but also through building our platform, where we're essentially creating the building blocks for our customers to create their own amazing customer experiences.
Right.
And that pretty much sums up what I'm principally focused on today at Kayako, and that's our products and working with our customers to help them grow through better customer service.
Perfect. And the special bit?
And the special bit, what makes Kayako special?
What makes you special, Jamie? Let's just keep it focused on you.
Oh, Adrian, I hate talking about myself. I guess what I like to think that something unique that I bring to the table is that experience working with our tens of thousands of customers, which are businesses of all shapes and sizes. We've worked from the smallest startups when they were just one, two, or three people, as they've grown all the way to hundreds and to their millionth customer.
Right.
And being able to see that and over such a long period of time, I think has given me and also our company a really unique insight into the common challenges, themes, and really what it takes to get the customer experience right, and also make sure you're set up to keep doing that for the future as well.
Perfect. So thank you for that, Jamie. Now, see, the reason behind, the rationale behind us having a chat today is because actually you published a piece of research, and it was a wee while ago, but not so long ago, so I still call it recent. And it was about research on kind of live chat statistics. I mean, and I thought this could be quite interesting because there's all sorts of talk right now about, you know, live chat, chatbots, and AI, and automation, and robotics, and all these different sort of things. So it's a bit of a hot topic, and a lot of people are really interested in it. But there's not necessarily a lot of research out on it. And I thought the fact that you kind of published something, I thought that would be an interesting thing, at least a starting point to have a conversation. So can you tell me a little bit more, give me some background to the research, you know, why you undertook it, what's it all about, what's its purpose, that sort of stuff. And also kind of like, what are some of the main headlines that you found out of the research?
Yeah, sure. So we undertook this study in 2017. We started early summer and we concluded it in the autumn time and published the results in October. And like you, we noticed there was very little research and study out there into live chat as a customer service channel. And almost all of the research and focus around what drives loyalty and retention and conversion and so forth seems to focus on all of the other channels. Something we're always trying to do at Kayako is figure out what makes for a great customer experience. And then we work backwards from that to the business and we build products to help businesses deliver that great customer experience. And this is something we're having to rediscover time and time again as technology changes, habits change, and customer behavior changes. And with our live chat study, we started off on a bit of a hunch. So we've been working with those many thousands of businesses to help them do better at customer service and create great customer experiences. But we felt that something just wasn't quite clicking with live chat as a communication channel and how businesses were executing it and delivering it. And we felt like there was an expectation mismatch there. So that was a hunch.
Can you say, on the expectation mismatch, is that the, where, what is that kind of mismatch? Is it that businesses were going into it with inflated expectations, i.e. it's going to be the be-all and end-all and the panacea and the solution to all their problems, and it was failing to deliver? Or is that on the customer's kind of side, that they are, oh, look, new channel, real-time messaging, and then the business is not quite up to speed? Or is there something else, or is it both, or and all of the above?
I'd say both and all of the above. So
okay.
It seems to us, and it was confirmed by a study, which I'm sure we'll get onto in a little bit, that a lot of businesses see offering live chat as a communication channel as a bit of a box-ticking exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because their competitors offer it, or they've heard that customers quite like to talk live through real-time messaging to a real person. But it takes a lot more than buying a live chat tool and publishing it on your website to do live chat well.
Mm-hmm.
And customers expect a great deal from their overall customer experience, however they're choosing to communicate with the business.
Mm-hmm.
So when the business isn't focusing as much on what it takes to operationalize and resource to do live chat well, it's very easy to fall short of those customer expectations around how quickly they'd like to get in touch with someone, what they expect the other person on the other end to know about them already so they don't have to repeat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And also some parts related to what that experience is like for the customer to use a live chat app and tool.
Sure.
So is it clunky? Is it full of forms that don't really work? Do you have to wait in a queue? There's lots of sort of frustrating aspects which businesses are overlooking,
mm-hmm.
fundamentally because they, I guess, haven't spent the time to understand what their customers are expecting from this channel, rather right. they've just ticked the box, published live chat, and think that's that.
Okay. So let's go back to the research then. Tell me about some of the headlines in the research before we get stuck, because otherwise I'll go ferreting around in the detail.
Okay. So the biggest and most surprising takeaway for us was how many of the assumptions and received wisdoms that businesses have about live chat turn out to be wrong, particularly when it comes to those customer expectations. And there's a disconnect between what businesses think and what those customers want. And we found that customers, and this is obvious, they really value being able to talk to a real person one-on-one in real time. You can't get a more personal customer service experience than that.
Sure.
But despite that, nearly 50% of the consumers we surveyed have had a negative live chat experience within the last month. And one of the most interesting findings for us was that while live chat is clearly the most preferred communication channel for most consumers, businesses think that their customers are around 20% more likely to prefer phone, and yeah. they focus more of their resources and investment in the phone channel, which turns out perhaps to be misadvised. And even more oddly, nearly half of the businesses we surveyed felt like their live chat experience wasn't good enough, but still they kept focusing on the phone channel anyway, and perhaps overstaffing it and putting their training and resources behind the phone rather than live chat. So there was this odd dissonance where many of the businesses we surveyed, they knew their live chat wasn't up to scratch, and their customers were saying that, and
okay.
but the businesses weren't doing much about it.
And is that because of kind of where they've come from, a little bit of a legacy position, or is that just all about erroneous assumptions?
I think it's both. So particularly for businesses that have been online for quite a while and have been doing live chat, I think they feel like they've fulfilled that customer demand, if you like, just by making it available and telling their support or contact center team to sit behind this thing and talk to customers by text.
Yeah.
As well as, or in addition to the phone.
Yeah.
Without really thinking about actually a bit more holistically about that customer experience around live chat as just one aspect mm-hmm. of the customer's journey as they interact with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if I had to pick my personal favorite and most surprising finding from the CACA study, and it's a pretty nuanced finding, but it has big ramifications, And that is, while customers love this real-time customer service in theory, they hate so much about the most about typical live chat experiences. And that's things like having to fill in clunky forms, use interfaces they feel aren't very modern, to wait in queues, mm-hmm. and to hope the person they connect, get connected to will actually be able to help them rather than just redirect them to email or the phone.
Right. So actually, kind of that particularly that last one is that the idea that you're just people want to perceive, or what you're saying to me is that people are saying, well, actually, this is a grown-up channel like anything else, and don't deflect me into something else. Just solve my problem. I don't really care.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't really care if I've chosen live chat. I've chosen live chat because I've chosen live chat, and therefore, it solved my problem in this channel.
Yeah, yeah. It goes even deeper than that. So one of the biggest potential benefits of live chat when it's done well is you can communicate and support with your customer and get them over a hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
In the customer's context.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't need to switch away from what they're doing. They don't need to close their browser. They don't need to leave the computer to pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't operationalize well enough and resource the team that's behind that live chat and is supporting those customers such that they're having to switch the customer to email or to phone more often than not to help them out, then you're losing out on really what is the major benefit of live chat, which is to be able to support your customer in the context of what they're already doing.
Right. Okay. So, I mean, what's the lessons for companies in this? I mean, sort of from the research and your findings and kind of also what you're seeing, and like, what do you think companies are getting right when it comes to live chat and what they're getting wrong? Is it as simple as when they get it wrong is that they're adding it because they think it's the right thing to do? I'm going to stop talking and you should tell me kind of what you think, because I'm actually asking the questions. Tell me, what do you think things that people are getting right and what are they getting wrong? What are the things that to look out for? Because if you decide to choose live chat for whatever reason, or for the right reasons, what are the things they need to be paying attention to?
Sure. So clearly one of the biggest things, at least what we've learned from our study, that businesses are getting right is that they're trying to offer live chat.
Okay.
Right. So at least they're paying attention to this channel and are aware to some extent of the opportunity that brings to the business in terms of improved conversions and increased customer loyalty.
Right.
And good live chat makes customers more loyal. So nearly, we found in our study, nearly two-thirds of the highest spending online consumers, which are those that spend between $250 to $500 a month online and on e-commerce, they are far more likely to stay loyal to businesses that offer live chat, which is their preferred customer service channel, particularly if they're under the age of 35.
Okay, but here's the thing, Jamie. Surely we can. That's not just a live chat specific finding. Surely you could probably say, you know what? Actually, the lesson for all businesses is that if you make your service great, you know, with relative to the particular customers, and also and get the choice of channels right, get an appropriate choice of channels for those kind of those different groups of customers, then you'll increase revenue and grow loyalty and advocacy and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's right. And there's an underlying truth there, which applies to all aspects of your customer service and customer experience.
Yeah.
But what our study has found and has highlighted is the customer's preference, topmost preference for communicating with the business is through real-time messaging, like live chat.
Right.
And their ability to do that and also get a good customer experience while doing that really drives customer loyalty and resulted in the consumers we surveyed, particularly the highest spending ones,
okay,
to really advocate for the brands and businesses, and they stick with them that do this well. And this is specifically to live chat.
Okay, no problem.
So it's good that businesses are, you know, putting some effort in this right direction, even if most of them aren't executing on it as well as they should be. Okay. Turning to the second part of your question about what we found businesses aren't getting right is the experience around the live chat. So they're offering live chat, it's there as a channel, it's in front of the customer on the website, that's great. But in terms of the overall experience and how the customer perceives that experience, that's where we find most businesses have faltered, and what is causing most of the consumers we surveyed to report consistent frustration with live chat as a channel.
Right.
So nearly a third of the consumers we surveyed described themselves as being very frustrated by the poor overall experience of a live chat. And some of the reported, the common reported frustrations there included having to wait in a queue, almost as if they were, you know, phoning up an old school call center or contact center, being disconnected and having to start over, whether accidentally or due to network issues.
Mm-hmm.
And also the effort needed to start that chat and maybe to follow up with it. Because, you know, as you know, when a live chat finishes, if you need to get back in touch with that person, you need to go right back to the start, get in the queue again, and hope you find that next, that same person you spoke with.
Right.
And one of the few things that businesses and consumers agreed on in our study was in the use of scripted responses.
Mm-hmm.
So consumers find it really frustrating, one of the most frustrating things, when they feel like they're getting a scripted response rather than being spoken to personally and understood as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
Or when agents don't have the right context and information to hand to be able to achieve that. And interestingly, nearly half of the businesses we surveyed recognized that this was one of the main causes of frustrations for their customer too. But it seems to be one of these things that aren't moving. So customers hate it, businesses know they hate it, but they're not doing very much about it,
mm-hmm.
which was interesting. And these experience aspects matter a huge amount to live chat. It's all about the live chat experience. It's not just about doing or offering live chat. One of my favorite studies was done by the CEB, mm-hmm. published in their book called The Effortless Customer Experiences.
Yeah.
The Effortless Customer Experience, sorry. And they identify that nearly two-thirds of what makes up a customer's feelings about the service they received is how they perceived it.
Sure.
And ultimately how they felt about it, rather than the actual outcome.
Yes.
So no matter how on point your resolution was, the customer will weight how they perceived it by two times more than what the tangible outcome actually delivered to them.
Sure.
So if a customer feels like they're being treated impersonally, given scripted responses, or having to repeat themselves to different people, even if you end up doing what the customer wants at the end of the day, you won't win their satisfaction and loyalty, which are the two biggest opportunities for doing live chat in the first place. And as I said, it seems to us that while many businesses are ticking that live chat box and publishing the chat widget on their website, they aren't necessarily putting in the resource or the thinking or perhaps the strategy towards engineering a great customer experience in the context of that channel.
And do you think that a lot of that's driven by sort of a mindset or reasons why people are choosing kind of live chat? Because, you know, there's, it's almost like the kind of the malaise of kind of customer service is that there's still, even though people say that service is way, way, way more important than being a cost center, that people are still buying service solutions from a cost basis and thinking about kind of, you know, well, we'll get live chat because that'll help with our call deflection or so on and so forth. And is that still the predominant kind of mindset? And people are looking at it from a cost lens and, you know, and trying to minimize kind of cost lens? Or are there other people that are actually kind of starting to think, be a bit more progressive and going, actually, no, this is driven by customer needs? I mean, where's the balance right now? Is it more cost or is it needs, or what's your impression?
So I think over the since the late 1990s and early 2000s, the mindset was absolutely cost reduction,
mm-hmm.
and operational efficiency, trying to get people off the phones and into more expedient live chat interactions.
Mm-hmm.
But in recent years, we've seen that sort of buyer mindset and the job the business is looking to do with live chat and the business outcome they're looking to achieve has been changing rapidly, far more towards a recognition of real-time communication channels like live chat, growing the bottom line, revenue, customer retention, and so on. And it, our study found that regardless of how well they're executing on it, 80% of the businesses who offer live chat as a channel report positive effects across the board, across sales, revenue, and customer loyalty.
Okay.
Which almost sounds like live chat's a silver bullet. And live chat being seen as a growth center is, it's a relatively nascent thing.
Right.
And I think it definitely tracks the boom of e-commerce and digital retail and so much more business moving online.
Mm-hmm.
So early on, live chat was adopted by businesses aiming perhaps to reduce their costs or as a bit of a branding exercise to appear innovative and forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I think this was definitely true in the boom in the 2000s. But one interesting thing is that businesses end up treating live chat as a growth center much sooner than other customer service channels like email and phone. And I think that's because of where live chat typically gets placed and where it gets mostly used by customers.
Mm-hmm.
Live chat is typically the front desk for most businesses. So live chat will be available on their websites and digital properties.
Yeah.
And with the nature of those interactions being sort of scooped up by live chat being available in those places as a front desk, so to speak, those businesses have much sooner recognized the change and the improvement to their conversion rates having launched and published live chat. And nowadays, live chat is certainly inextricably associated with conversion rate optimization. And the biggest buyers and investors tend to be high performance e-commerce businesses,
okay,
looking to move the needle on conversion rate. And the buying decisions for live chat, at least for pre-sales and in e-commerce, are predominantly driven by CRO and sales and marketing.
Right.
But that's not by no means the only job of live chat. And just because those types of businesses spend and invest more in live chat, because the revenue argument is easy to make and justify, live chat still has its other primary job, which is reducing customer effort,
mm-hmm,
throughout the entire customer service lifecycle, so sure, including post-sales, making it easier to get help and support in the context of the customer, which in turn increases customer loyalty and lifetime value.
Perfect. And so, do you have any insight in terms of how live chat performs across different types of customer kind of groups? Because actually, the other concern I've had over the course of the last year or so is that a lot of the talk has been about digital, and more digital, and what it's not actually kind of doing is, and I'm sort of wondering how different generations are responding to this development of all these kind of new channels, whether millennials, Gen Xers, baby boomers, Gen Zers, and kind of a whole bunch of other sort of people. So are you finding that the adoption is and the use of it is it different across different groups, or is it kind of broadly uniform, or you don't really have that insight and that's kind of next stage, or how does that work?
We got some of that insight through our study, and also there was an interesting study done by Twilio, mm-hmm, which is a voice and messaging platform as a service, last year into the differences of consumer communication channel preferences across geographies and generations. And in our own study, we looked closely at the generational differences between customer preferences when it comes to the mode of communication that a customer would prefer to use. And we did spot an interesting generational difference being played out in those preferences. And the baby boomer generation, so to speak, certainly prefer more traditional channels like phone support,
mm-hmm,
over messaging, email, and social customer service. But there's a huge gulf between that baby boomer generation and people over the age of sort of 45 to 50, and the millennial generation, and indeed anyone under the age of 35, who, mm-hmm, are the exact opposite.
Right.
And more than half of them prefer real-time messaging channels and live chat and email channels, as opposed to picking up the phone, which actually would be enough to send a shutter down any millennial spine. And we also noticed that of the businesses we surveyed, it's typically the baby boomer generation that is leading the customer service centers and contact centers. So it's perhaps not surprising that they have been going with their intuition and perhaps over-investing in the phone channels and the channels they personally prefer, and are collectively under the impression that you know, this is what all of our customers prefer, even when you look under the hood, the growth opportunity is in those real-time messaging channels.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's an interesting perspective. I mean, I think there's a slight different kind of like take on that, and there's one which is that says that actually a lot of the baby boomers don't necessarily get the attention that they deserve because they're interested in stuff which is not new and shiny. The challenge with that, however, is that being boring and kind of like a bit of a fuddy-duddy with kind of a bit more grey hair than some of your younger cohorts isn't the thing that gets people excited within kind of businesses. And then the further complicating kind of factor, and also doesn't sort of, it's hard, you know, it's hard to put together an investment business case for things that are boring, right? But one of the other complicating kind of factors is that actually the grey hairs or the greyer hairs tend to have all the assets and most of the disposable income.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I guess in that argument you're suggesting those demographics are underserved by businesses, much to their detriment, because they have high propensity to spend and more money to spend than the other generations. And I think broadly speaking, you're right, and it's important not to overgeneralize. So for any business, it would be completely wrong to take an average of customer preferences. There is no average customer. There mm-hmm. is no average customer preference. And it matters, the context matters so much.
Yes.
And I think rather than a business looking to, you know, a generalized study like ours and basing its business decisions and customer service decisions exclusively on what we're reporting to be sort of customer preferences, businesses should hopefully use our study to ask questions and challenge assumptions and received wisdoms. But we would still urge businesses, like we do our customers at CACO, to understand their customer better than anyone.
Yeah.
Who are they? What drives them? What do they like? What don't they like? How did they like to be spoken with and communicated with? And what are their goals and aspirations in life? And out of that, you'll see through the generations, and you'll understand your customer in their context. Because I'm sure there's plenty of baby boomers out there who do actually prefer using real-time messaging and live chat, depending on the context of what they're doing.
Oh no, completely. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not making sort of generalizations that more mature members of the buying kind of public are averse to using kind of digital kind of channels. I just think that there's sometimes, I think the thing that we need to be careful of, and I include younger age groups in this, is the thing that we always need to be careful of is making assumptions.
Mm.
And actually, if there's one thing that we need to do is make sure that we are clear on the assumptions that we are making, because those are the things that will drive all our decisions and also will influence all the outcomes. And it's actually the assumptions are the only things that are really going to get us into trouble and or hinder our delivery of kind of good service or a great experience.
Mm. I think you make a good point there, and a drawing on a thread that came out of our study, which is going off tangent from live chat a little bit, was where the consumers we surveyed ranked social customer service mm-hmm. as a preference. And across the board, across most age groups, it came under 10%. 10% mm-hmm. of consumers preferred to use modes like Twitter and Facebook to get and receive customer service. But when you look at sort of where all the buzz is and what so many businesses are investing in and chasing and talking about, it is social customer service. So I think you're right. There's a risk, and it seems plenty of businesses out there are falling foul of chasing that new and shiny thing,
mm-hmm.
which would be a mistake.
Excellent. So, Jamie, so given all of this, let's bring it down to brass tacks. I mean, if I was to say to you, what would your advice be to customer service or experienced leaders, given kind of what you know about sort of live chat and, but not limited to live chat, but the sort of, and also the findings of your kind of research. I mean, if I was to say to bits of advice, top bits of advice that you would give to the people based on what you're learning kind of right now in terms of to help them be more successful, what would they be?
So I think our research makes clear and confirms that there's this huge opportunity in front of businesses of all kinds, B2C, B2B, e-commerce, in the pre-sales and post-sales functions. Mm-hmm. When it comes to live chat, and that opportunity is there for the taking. And it really does need the focus of your resources and operations to do it well.
Right.
It's not something that's going to be achieved by solely buying in new software. And I think lots of businesses of all sizes are still treating real-time messaging and live chat perhaps as a second-class citizen to the contact center or channels they've traditionally been more comfortable with, which is a big mistake. Mm-hmm. And I'd argue that due to the potentially fleeting nature of a real-time text conversation on your website, it's more important to get it right the first time, because there's less window for recovery if a customer service interaction goes wrong, as opposed to the phone, where you've kind of got the customer on the line and they're tied up on that phone. But when you get live chat right, it really pays off. And when the customer gets what they want, ideally with the least effort possible, which is one of the biggest benefits of live chat, and they leave feeling personally helped, they will leave feeling much more positive about your brand and are more likely to stick with you and buy more from you. Mm-hmm. And I think if in terms of where to start with this, my advice to people in customer service leadership functions and managing customer service who are already offering and managing live chat, mm-hmm. would be to take a look again at where your time and resources are going in all aspects of your customer experience, but particularly in how you're resourcing each of those customer communication channels and touch points. Mm-hmm. So firstly, are you using a modern live chat application or tool? Or are you using the same one that you bought sort of a decade ago? That user interface of the customer, the experience and the application experience to which they're talking to you and getting that customer service is as important as the communication that's coming back to them through it. So in the same way that a consumer today is going to reject a smartphone app that's clunky and old, they're also going to reject a clunky live chat user interface.
Right.
And in doing so, will reject your business. So that user experience and that live chat interface, it's got to be modern, it's got to be befitting with your brand, and it's got to be as good as the service you deliver to the customer through it. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I'd ask, are your team and agents who sit behind your real-time channels and live chat equipped? So does your CRM or customer service platform provide agents and your team with the context they need to give the customer the right answer? So whether that's referencing internal knowledge or customer order information, is that at the agent's fingertips? Because it has to be for that customer service in real time to be personalized and contextual. And thirdly, I'd ask, are my agents that sit behind live chat equipped with the knowledge of customer experience, and do they have the skills they need to engineer a good customer experience through real time, through text? Which is hard to do, because unlike phone, you don't have the benefit of your tone of voice and inflections and other little subtleties that can help convey emotion and also pick up and understand and decipher emotion from the customer. Mm-hmm. So it really takes a special skill set to give a good customer experience through live chat. And as I said, it's not a set it and forget it type of channel. And customer preferences on how they like to communicate and be communicated with are changing at least as fast as the millennial generation growing up, or as technology changes on the web. So for example, using things like emojis and animated GIFs could be completely on the wavelength of your millennial customer base and perhaps your brand. And if they like that, and if you've got that type of customer, and if you use them, that could really add an extra layer of personalization to your interaction and achieve that emotional connect with that customer through what might otherwise be a less personal text-based interaction. But of course, if you were a pension or retirement fund company and you started using emojis and animated GIFs to enrich that text-based conversation, you might end up putting them off. So you've really got to understand your customer and treat all your channels, but in particular your live chat channel, not as a transactional channel, but as a living mode of communication that has to be constantly understood, evaluated and iterated on and nurtured, just like you would do with social customer service. So you wouldn't launch your customer service Twitter account, for example, and have people who speak corporate PR language sit behind it, because it would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So too for live chat, you perhaps wouldn't put the people who have spent most of their lives developing skills to deliver good customer service through email behind live chat, because it takes an additional layer of experience and skills to do that well.
Okay.
For businesses that aren't offering live chat today, I'd say do. And I think our study says definitely do. And whether you're B2C or B2B, the customer preference for live chat as a channel is loud and clear. And even though it varies across those generations, it is shifting across generations. So even though it ranks maybe 3 or 4 as a communication channel preference for baby boomers, it is increasing among baby boomers. And it's increasing even faster for people on the age of 35. And it's important for you to be ahead of that. You don't want to be a laggard when it comes to meeting those customer expectations, particularly on the web, where you're competing not just with your brick and mortar store next door, but you're competing with companies that can offer the best in class customer experience to their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, remember that live chat is one of the most prominently available channels on your websites and apps and digital properties. It's right there in front of your customer on every page and everything they click through, including at checkout. So of course it's going to act like a bit of a lightning rod, and it's probably going to attract more conversations and interactions with your customers than if you didn't offer live chat. Because one of the biggest things live chat introduces to the customer experience is a lower effort way to get in touch with someone.
Sure.
And each of those conversations is an opportunity either to convert that customer or to leave them with a memorable experience which will improve their loyalty. So you've got to make sure that that whole experience is modern as a user interface and is fluid, and it lives up to your brand and is staffed well. Okay. And live chat is one of those key moments to make a mark, because more customers are going to use it, both pre-sales and post-sales, and this is an opportunity for you, and it all adds up to growth.
Okay. So one final thing before we sort of kind of wrap up, because I know you're a busy guy. Can you give us an example of a company that you know, to make it real, is almost like, briefly, can tell us a story about one of your clients that have adopted, that have gone from maybe either not having it to having it, or to having an old version to a new version, and sort of what almost like what's been the difference in terms of the benefit to their business to adopting kind of a live chat or a modern live chat sort of solution?
So that's a good question. So I think when it comes to our customers at Kayako, one of the biggest live chat success stories we've seen has been with a business called freelancer.com,
mm-hmm.
which is one of the world's biggest marketplaces for freelancers to advertise their services and bid on jobs from everything from copywriting to computer programming to business analyst services.
Mm-hmm.
And Freelancer were a relative pioneer in live chats, and they've been with us for a long time, nearly a decade. And they were one of the first people to use our live chat product and put it on their website for a customer support purpose, so a post-sales purpose. So live chat would be available as a communication channel and support channel to their paying customers within their client area. And freelancers saw huge benefits across all of their support KPIs, customer satisfaction, NPS, and loyalty between those who regularly use the live chat channel and those who didn't, compared to when they didn't offer live chat. And that was predominantly because of the stressful work that's involved in being a freelancer.
Right.
Late payments, disputes, and that kind of thing. And when you encounter one of those issues as a customer and as a freelancer, and I know this quite well, having been one myself when I was younger, immediacy is important. You need to talk to someone, and you need to know someone is there helping you overcome this problem, and you need as much information as you can get, and you need that fast. And through operating live chat in their client area and staffing it really well, far more staffing behind live chat than they offer on their phone service, they saw huge benefits and increases over those key KPIs and customer loyalty. So that, I think, is one of my most memorable and biggest success stories, because Freelancer is a huge company and supports millions of customers and have support and success teams in the hundreds. And I could look to a much smaller example of a B2B hardware company called Displex.
Mm-hmm.
Displex make large interactive whiteboard type displays that they'll come in and install for businesses, and businesses can collaborate better on these interactive displays.
Right.
And Displex moved from what we'd call legacy support tools, legacy help desk tools, support ticketing software to communicate with and talk to their customers, to focusing much more on offering to their customers as the main customer communication channel, a real-time conversation experience provided through our Kaka Messenger product, which is our modern take on live chat. And with Kaka Messenger, Displex is able to communicate with their customers just like their customers would use WhatsApp to talk to their friends and family. So that means when a conversation starts, the customer can step away from that and come back, you know, in 15 minutes or the next day and pick up that conversation where it left off. They don't need to get back into a queue and request a new chat and end up speaking to someone completely different. And in adopting this sort of more modern version of live chat, if you like, real-time messaging through Kaka Messenger, Displex saw an immediate increase of about 42% in their customer satisfaction scores for every interaction that took place through Kaka Messenger versus their other channels. And we think a lot of that has to do with, and I might be blowing our own trumpet here, but the user interface that Kaka Messenger provides to the customer. So it's modern, it's slick, and it's fluid. But also to how easy it was for Displex to offer real-time messaging as a communication channel to their customers. So because the way real-time messaging works is very different to how traditional live chat works, whereas traditional live chat is much more like a call center where your customers will get in a queue and wait for an operator to become available. With real-time messaging, like with WhatsApp, your customers can send a message, and depending on the availability of the team at the other end, they could get a response immediately or maybe a little bit later, and all the while their expectations are being set. So for Displex, they could offer live chat in quotation marks without having to worry about floor availability, staffing 24/7 or even sort of 9-to-5. And it gave them a lot more flexibility while still reaping the benefits of being able to offer that live chat experience to their customers. And I like those two case studies because it goes to show that at both ends of the spectrum and at all kinds of scale, there's a big opportunity there to offer really good real-time communication channels for customer service to your customers.
Perfect. Thank you for that. I mean, that's glad that that brings it to life. And also keeping an eye on time, I just wanted to ask you, I mean, is there anything else that you think we've missed out before I ask you my final question that I've been asking for kind of, and this is nearly, I'm nearly at 250 of these interviews.
Right now. Wow.
Which is, it feels quite a big number. But
I'm honoured.
Yeah, no, it's fine. And as am I. But have we missed anything out before I ask you my final question, Jamie?
So I think it's something we touched on earlier, mm-hmm. and it's something that's easy for us to sit here and say, but it is really hard to do and execute. And I think if I can sum up with anything, it would be the age-old piece of advice, know your customer.
Sure.
And from our study, one of the most consistent themes that kept coming out of it was this disconnect between what businesses were thinking and what their customers were actually doing and what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so important to know your customer, know how they want to communicate with you, what their preferences are, interview them, survey your own customers. Don't just rely on studies like the one we've done or what Twilio did last year. And just like when deciding what goes on your product roadmap, which will be hopefully very much driven by your customer feedback, your customer feedback should drive your customer service roadmap too, and sure. inform how you communicate with them, what channels you offer to them, and over those channels, what that experience looks like.
Perfect. Thank you. So, Jamie, that brings me to my final question that I always ask at the end of these interviews. And the question is this, sir. Is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
So, Adrian, you must know that it's impossible for us reserved British to plug anything without shame.
Well, that's kind of it's a question by design.
But that's not going to stop me.
Well, there you go. So we kind of, we say we don't like doing these things, but we secretly do.
So I'd, so if I was to plug one thing, I'd love to invite your listeners to check out our blog on kaka.com. Mm-hmm. We've got a great team. We've been working in customer service and on customer experience for many years, and we've got a great deal to share. Mm-hmm. We've got awesome contributors who publish a goldmine of best practices and advice, not just on live chat customer service, but across the whole customer experience. And I think it will be helpful for the for your listeners and also the teams of your listeners, especially if they're looking to upgrade their live chat experience.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Jamie, thank you so much for your time and for sharing the report with us and your insights and your expertise. I will make sure I get all that linked up and kind of ready to go when it goes live. But once again, just thank you for your time and sharing your insights with us today. That's been great.
Great stuff. Thanks, Adrian. It's been great talking to you.